your finances, on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Well, hello, folks. We are back again. This is Paula T., your hostess with the mostest, bringing you the enlightenment of the new age of trading psychology. Today's show is the first show of August 2024, August 4th, 2024. So we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping, as sometimes we have to do here. As I mentioned previously, my publisher, Penguin Random House, had finally agreed to correct the error that they made many, many years ago when The Disciplined Trader was first published. My name was supposed to be on that book as well. And in the publishing world, you don't always get to keep your same editor. So we've been through probably, gosh, 8 or 9 editors in the past couple decades, and every editor agrees, oh, yes, that's an error. So we need to add your name and your intro, and never happened. Until this past January, when I finally kind of put my foot down, and they agreed to correct their mistake. So with a lot of fanfare this past June, they reprinted The Disciplined Trader with, allegedly, with my name on the cover and my intro and all that. However, that's not what happened. The only thing that happened was that my name was put on the book cover, but certainly not on the inside. My intro wasn't put in there. And on top of that, the print quality of the book literally looked like somebody had copied it on a copying machine that needs toner, a toner cartridge. Really, really bad quality print. Plus, they did not use the most current book file. They used the original book file from 1989 that still had typos in it. So I'm bringing this up because please don't buy the book yet. I'll be nice about it. I'm in arguments with Penguin right now to fix this. So don't waste your money, because this edition is really crappy. And there's no other way to describe it. It's really an embarrassment. So I will let you know when this has been corrected. And then you can go out and buy a nice hardcover copy that is legible, as well as has the most current book files. Okay? So if you have any questions, you know where to reach me. inquiry@paulatweb.com or 760-636-4290. Okay, now, another little bit of housekeeping, and this is the last time I'm going to be put on the defensive speaking with you guys, working with you guys. Last week I mentioned that my cat Solomon had been very ill, and I was, you know, very, very concerned and worried. And I said something to the effect that I'm not one of those cat ladies that you hear about. That was not a political statement. I did not know that someone in politics had made reference to cat ladies, because I don't listen to any of their rhetoric. But more importantly, guys, I don't even know where that phrase came from, and I don't know why anyone who owns a cat should be denigrated. So all of your negative comments to me this past week about who you think I'm voting for based on that comment is out of line. So I don't bring up politics here because I don't care about your politics. And I'm certainly not going to share my politics with you, because it's nobody's business. And that statement was a defensive statement, because everyone I mentioned last week about my cat being ill made reference to me being, you know, a crazy cat lady. I don't appreciate that, and it won't be tolerated. So that's that. All right, so now getting down to business here. All right, so what I want to do, I do get some questions here about, excuse me, you know, what it means when I talk about your mental environment. And so one of the things traders especially have to understand is that when I talk about your mental environment, that is that part of your brain, your psyche, that operates, it functions within you, inside of you, versus our physical environment, which is literally everything outside of us. Everything we see, taste, smell, touch, you know, furniture, cars, streets, clothes, you know, even touching another person, that is the physical environment. But your mental environment is what exists inside your psyche, which includes all your thoughts, everything that you believe about everything. Now, that's not anything physical, and so that's why it's difficult a lot of times for traders to understand what a mental environment is, because trading is physical, let's be honest. You point and click your mouse to try and make money. You're using a computer, a system, you've got a keyboard, you've got a desk. So that in itself facilitates you trading in a physical environment. But where trading really takes place is in your mind, in your mental environment. And so one of the reasons that we, as traders especially, again, find it more difficult to understand the difference between the mental and physical environment is that we're not taught how to do that from the time we're born. From the time we're born, we are taught what to think, believe, love, hate, and know by other people. With the best of intentions, of course, you know, to keep us safe from harm. And then we're taught primarily to remember, to memorize, remember, and repeat, you know, historical datas, math equations, and that sort of thing. So, in essence, we're taught the exact opposite of what we need to know, meaning how to think as traders. Because, okay, when we're kids, of course, we don't know anything about trading. So, of course, you know, it wouldn't come up. But that's why a lot of times with traders, understanding what their mental environment is comprised of is some mysterious place that they can't really grasp, you know, a real comprehension of. So, and as a result of that, a lot of traders end up defining what they think is their mental environment in a haphazard fashion, meaning just willy-nilly, like sporadically, without ever really understanding the relationship between the mental environment and the physical environment. Now, I know we're going to get a little deep here today, but this is something that I get a lot of questions about, so I want to share this with you today. So you have to understand that if you want to consciously transform your trading into a winning mindset, or let's say adapt yourself in ways to function more effectively as a trader, you're going to have a fundamental and practical understanding of the nature of what your mental environment is and how it operates. Okay? So let's just keep that in mind. So a simple example of the physical environment would be, you know, your trading desk, right? And the meaning you attach to your trading desk. That's on the inside. Your trading desk is on the outside. Your computer, your trading system, that's on the outside of you. However, your mind's perception of your trading system and the meaning of it, the meaning of you pointing and clicking your mouse, that is 100% only going on inside of your mental environment. Okay? So anything that goes on or happens in your mental environment equates to all your experiences and memories of all of your trading. And all of that is tied up in your feelings, your beliefs, the emotional energy attached to those beliefs, all your wants, needs, desires associated with your trading. And those are all tied in together into that mental environment that I'm speaking of, regardless of whether you've expressed any of those thoughts, beliefs, needs, wants, desired out loud, because they simply exist inside your mental environment. Now, I know this is like, you know, it's a little deep, okay? But, you know, it really needs to be explored here. So, you know, take a moment or two during this discussion and just think about, write down what you think about your trading. What is it that you want from your trading? What is it that you desire from your trading? Meaning, who do you want to be as a trader? And I know I've brought this up before, but we're getting into this a little deeper now. So you have to make a list of who you want to be as a trader. And what does that mean to you? What does it mean to you to be a trader? Does that mean to be a winner every day? Does it mean you follow your rules without fail? Does that mean you'd be happy just taking $50 out of the markets? Which we all know is thinking like a fake trader, because no one would ever be happy just taking some small amount out of the market. So as we delve a little deeper into what your mental environment is, start thinking about what you think about yourself as a trader. If I asked you, what do you think about yourself as a trader? How would you answer with me? How would you answer me right off the top of your head? And that's what you have to be able to do as a trader any given moment if someone asked you that question. So start making your list, and we'll be back after the break. Hopefully you took a few moments to do the exercise that I suggested in the earlier section here today. And just understand, guys, when I give you these exercises, this really is for you and about you. Okay? These are tried and true exercises that Mark and I have been using since the late 1980s and early 1990s with all levels of traders. Day traders, floor traders, investment brokers, institutional bankers, you know, literally all across the world. We traveled for 20 years teaching traders of all levels, of all types, individual versus, you know, working for organizations, how to think. Now, the choice is up to you. If you want to learn how to think, then you're going to listen to this. And if you don't want to learn how to think, fine, then, you know, go listen to the other goofballs on the internet who don't know what they're talking about. Anyway, sorry, I'd be a little conceited there. So anyway, getting back to our discussion, okay? So when we talk about the mental environment, what we are talking about is energy. And energy, although it may not seem like it, energy does not take up space in the physical environment, because it doesn't displace anything that does take up space. Meaning, your thoughts don't move anything out of the way physically, right? You can sit there and think about something, you can sit there and believe something, and it's not going to interrupt anything in your physical environment. A chair is not going to move. You're not going to have to close a door or open a door. So this is how we know that our thoughts and beliefs are just energy. That's it. So this non-dimensional quality of energy is probably one of the hardest concepts to grasp about the nature of energy by traders. Because even though energy is non-dimensional, it does and can, at times, take some form that is visible to our eyes. And I'll explain that in a second. But and anything that is visible should have dimensions that we can measure, right? Now, this may seem like an obvious contradiction to say that energy can take a viable form in front of our eyes and yet still not have any dimension, but it isn't. Now, one of the best ways to illustrate this is with holograms or holographic photography. Now, with the holographic process, you can create a three-dimensional image in light projected into space that can be seen with the eyes, and it will appear to have length, width, and circumference. You could even measure the length or width of the image. However, your hands would still pass right through the image if you tried, because there really isn't anything there, at least not in a physical sense. Images in light also have no physical substance, so from a physical perspective, they also don't have any dimension. Now again, relative to physical objects, energy doesn't have any dimension. Now, we can demonstrate this even more clearly, hopefully, with a concept of a simple mental exercise. Now, this is something I do in my workshops a lot, to bring home this concept of your mental environment. Take a moment right now, close your eyes, and picture the last place where you went on vacation, or the last time you heard your favorite song. Where were you? Who were you with? Where did you stay? What trips did you take? Now, as you sit there and you bring back any type of positive memory, where you imagine where you went, think about if you got up and moved from your present location in the physical environment. In other words, did you have to get up out of your chair and open your eyes to make preparations to think about that trip or that memory or that favorite song? Did you have to get in your car and drive each mile to that favorite vacation or relive that moment when you heard your favorite song as if you were actually physically experiencing it? Probably not, right? Because the image of your favorite vacation or your last vacation or who you were with when your favorite song came on the radio, it just popped into your consciousness. But it's as if you were instantaneously transported to those locations, to those events, without regard to the space or distance that you would need to travel to get there in the physical environment. In other words, there was no space between your present location as you relived those memories and the images of the vacations or the trips or who you were with when you heard your favorite song that you have in your memories. Now, I hope this makes some sense to you, because, you know, as traders, you know, if we don't resolve loss, let's just use that as an example here today. I would say probably a good 55-60% of most of the traders I work with have unresolved loss, meaning they either took a big hit or they're boom and busters, or they're just sustainably losing. And they haven't resolved the pain associated with losing. So every time they look at their screen, look at a chart, they are not able to see true market data because they are living in the past memory of losing money as a trader. Now, there's no physical manifestation of it while they're sitting there looking at their chart, but mentally, it might as well just be physical because it's right there in front of them. So this is where the dynamic of, you know, thoughts, beliefs, memories, and whether they're positive or negative, take on a subjective form of appearing physical, when in reality, it's all just the energy stored in your mind, associated with everything you think and believe. Now, if we take a trader, let's say, for instance, that's suffered, you know, $50,000 hit, and he doesn't resolve that, and it hurts. $50,000 is a lot of money. I don't know about you guys, but it's a lot of money to me, but it's a lot of money to most traders today, especially given, you know, the economy. And so $50,000, that may have been, that could have been like, you know, most of their account, could have wiped them out. Maybe they had to cash in, you know, some retirement fund to refund their account. We don't know. But the point is that if they have not taken apart and broken down what they feel about that $50,000 hit and explore the dynamics as to how and why it happened, then they're going to keep reliving that $50,000 hit, maybe not in that amount, but they're going to keep reliving that memory over and over because they've created a closed loop of not understanding how their mental environment is directing them to act in a physical way as traders every time they point and click their mouse. So what I'm getting out here is that your thoughts direct your hand on your mouse, and your mental environment, your thoughts, your beliefs create those trading actions, those trading problems, those trading challenges, whatever you want, you know, whatever you call them. And it's all based on your mental environment and what you're thinking. Now, you know, countless traders come to me and say, oh, I don't know why I'm doing this. Yes, they do. They just don't want to admit it. And that's when they fall in the further trap of being a fake trader. So hold on to that thought, but think about how you may be manifesting repeated losses by physically reacting to what you think. Okay? And we'll be right back.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay, moving forward, I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, are familiar with the book The Art of War by Sun Tzu. You know, he was an ancient Chinese warrior about 2,000 years ago or so. And the book, although it's based on warfare, there is a lot of really good material in here about thinking like a winner. Well, obviously a winning warrior in the book, but it's no different than winning financially. And I'm bringing this up because in chapter 7, one of his statements is, there is nothing more difficult than the art of maneuvering. And this is exactly what I teach traders when I tell them that they need to learn how to think. I mean, what is the act of maneuvering? Whether it's in war or at a job or reading a chart. Isn't analysis of your chart a type of maneuvering? Now let's think about this for a moment. Because what's so difficult about maneuvering, especially in the markets, is to understand there may be a devious route, which may be the most direct route to making profit. But it also turn your fortune into misfortune. So one of the things you have to understand as a trader is, how am I going to maneuver through the markets? Now, of course, nowadays we call it navigating, and there's, you know, other terms that we use, but I'm going to use the word maneuver because it is maneuvering. You have to maneuver your thoughts to get the best outcome. This is no different than being a soldier. This is no different than being a good parent. This is no different than being a good spouse or a good sibling. We all have to learn how to maneuver our relationships, whether they're physical or mental, as in being traders, to create our highest outcome, our highest, most positive, most profitable outcome. So when we become traders, what you have to learn is, you have to learn how to weigh each situation, meaning you have to weigh the criteria for putting on each trade, correct? Yes, correct. You have to have criteria to put on a valid trade. And then once you put that trade on, you have to allow your mind to be open to maneuver in any direction that's necessary to do what needs to be done. This is the art of maneuvering, the mental art of maneuvering. Because all of maneuvering in war, as in, you know, this book, it all started mentally. I think it was General Patton who was so victorious in Europe, and I believe he said, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he felt as if he had been in Italy in a previous life, because he was a great warrior. You know, there was a lot of, you know, generals in World War II that truly were superior thinkers, and they accomplished great goals, obviously. You know, we're speaking English here in the U.S. instead of German or Japanese or Chinese or whatever. So the point is, they weighed every situation in front of them before they made one movement. In other words, they had their criteria for each trade, each skirmish, each battle, and they thought it through. All the way through, best scenario, worst case scenario, before they had anybody do anything. And that's what traders have to do as well. Now, you have to understand the mental art of being direct, as well as having an indirect approach, because that's where you're going to be profitable. I mean, we can all look at a chart for the most part and say, okay, the market's going up, we'll get in here, we'll get out there, put in my stop, whatever. No, that's pretty direct. Indirect would be when you're not being a mechanical trader and you're trying to be subjective or intuitive. That's for down the road. But right now, we'll just focus on being direct. Being direct as a mechanical trader is also an art of maneuvering. Let's put it this way, guys. If you can't decide to put on your trades, put in your stops, and turn the computer off and let the trades do their job, if you can't even do that, then how is it you think that you're going to be able to do it watching the markets all day long? That is a red flag to tell you right there that you are too invested in your trading. You are not objective, and you don't have focus. Because some of the best traders I've ever met were completely mechanical traders. To this day. They don't care what the market's doing because they've made up their mind. They put on their trades, put in their stops, and they're letting the trades do their work. Okay? So think about that. Now, and this brings into mind another quote that when you see the correct course, act. Don't second guess it. Just do what you need to do. If this is your valid trade, then put it on and take your profit. Now, if you can't do that, then you start beating yourself up. You're going to have to ask yourself, what purpose is beating myself up providing me? How is this making my trading better? And why would you linger in that type of negative thought process? There's no purpose to it. Now, a whole nother dimension to thinking for yourself is understanding that when there are changes in trading, in the markets, why not look at that as an opportunity to learn? Instead of saying, oh my God, you know, I missed that move. Well, maybe you weren't supposed to be in on that move. Maybe you wouldn't have managed the trade very well. Maybe you would have lost. But for any trader to look at a trade after it's over, or look at a trade they didn't even take after that move has passed them by, and lament over missed opportunity is absolutely ridiculous. You have no idea how you would have reacted had you been in that trade. You have no idea how you would have reacted if you would have stayed in that trade. So you can't go back and say, oh, I should have stayed in, or oh, I should have got in, because you don't know, number one, again, how you would have reacted, and number two, you don't know that the market would have reacted the way that it did. We can look at any event after it's over and say, oh, wow, yeah, this is really great. You know, I missed out on that. Well, what purpose does that serve you? This is what it means to think for yourselves, guys. This is why it's critical for you to become the best trader, to learn what you think and why. And if what you think right now in your mental environment, all those beliefs and feelings and desires and wants and needs, if they are not helping you become a better trader, then let them go. De-energize them, as we've spoken about before. Ask yourself, what would be the downside to letting go of thoughts and beliefs that are no longer productive for you as a trader? What would be the downside? There isn't any. There isn't any. Now, let's say you're going on pretty well. You had a really nice streak, winning streak. And, you know, another quote is, when the world is at peace, a gentleman keeps his sword by his side. And what that quote means is that even when you're on a winning streak, more importantly, absolutely when you're on a winning streak, you can't drop your guard. You can't think, this is it. I've plateaued. I've made it. Because you don't know. Because you don't know what is going to happen in the market at any given moment next. And this is unfortunately, you know, the sad story that so many traders and the trap that they fall into. So they think, okay, you know, I've been doing really well for 3-4 months. Oh, I can take a break. I can breathe. Oh, I'm going to add my contract size. I'm, I don't really have to follow my rules now because I've been doing really good and so forth and so on. And this is when, if you become reckless, and that's basically all it is, then you will be killed financially. You will end up being a boom and buster. And if you get angry about losing trades or not following your rules after you had all these months of being profitable, then you get, you know, you get angry and you make a fool out of yourself by revenge trading. So you got to think about these things, guys. You know, I'm not just sitting here flapping my pie hole because I got nothing better to do here. Okay, this is my passion. This is my career. This is what I've been doing for decades, helping you learn how to think so you can achieve consistent profit taking. Okay, this is power profit taking on steroids right here. Paula T, New Age of Trading Psychology. And we'll be right back after the break. So, a couple more tidbits of wisdom here. A lot of traders, they don't have a sense of humor, and when, especially if they've had some losses, and you have to have a sense of humor as a trader, okay? And I've mentioned this to countless clients over the years, countless traders, and you know I may screw up. Trading, I may not make money. I may lose on a stupid trade, you know, because I didn't manage it well. It was a valid trade, but I just didn't manage it well. You know, but typically I don't do that too much because I am a mechanical trader. But on occasion, I'm human. But the difference is that I don't get upset with myself. I just laugh at myself and say, oh, way to go, Webb. you know better than that. Okay. Because I don't have a need to be right. I have a desire to make money. And so if I don't follow my rules, or if I, you know, just put on a trade, you know, like, again, I'm human. There's times when I have just put on trades to test the market or to see how smart I am. And most of the time I lose, you know. And so I'll just say, okay, way to go, Webb. You just proved that you had to be right and you weren't. So let's get back to mechanical trading. Okay? So you don't have to beat yourself up over anything. The only thing that you have to be focused on is learning how to think about what you know and to understand that you don't know what you don't know if you don't know what you think. And when you don't know what you don't know, then you no longer have focus in the markets. It's plain and simple. It's real simple. Now, as for this book that I was kind of quoting from, you know, as I said, Sun Tzu was apparently a magnificent warrior, and he understood all aspects of war, and he knew that all aspects of war must be studied and thoroughly understood. Now, his concern wasn't primarily focused on the battlefield, because he was acutely aware of war's economic, political, and physical aspects as well. He understood that Waging war successfully requires a firm grasp of the human, physical, and organizational factors involved in the mind. And what he writes about in this book is that the wise leader could be anything in any venue, understands and adapts to the constantly shifting interaction of all three to achieve victory. And to this day, most Japanese businessmen read this book every day. And we all know how successful the Japanese business people are. So you might want to pick up a copy of this if you haven't already. It's available on Amazon and, you know, and used bookstores and that sort of thing. So just keep that in mind. So moving forward, we're going to go to some really good quotes from Catherine Ponder, one of my favorite teachers. And we're going to start out with this really important fact. God is the source of your supply. Your mind, body, abilities, talents, education, experience, job, or career are all instruments of and channels of your prosperity. But God is your source. Therefore, you have to connect to Him definitely, and consistently to keep in touch with His source if you want to be constantly prospered. You know, I've mentioned to you guys, I talk to Him every day. I get in the shower and I say my affirmations. I have a connection with Him. And I know that He has a connection to me. And I also know that there's no criticism of me by Him. His supreme law of good is always in charge of my life. And my financial harmony, He will make reign supreme. And in my world, I know that. It's up to me, though, to manage it. First of all, you have to believe in it, but then you have to manage it. Now, we've said this before, but you have to keep in mind that money is life. Money is energy. And money is movement, expansion, and activity. Money doesn't like to be clutched or restrained in idleness. Actually, it's the active circulation of money that brings prosperity. And depressions and recessions are caused by miserly hoarding of money. So you have to understand that, think about saying to yourself, I use the positive power of God's rich substance in wisdom with me, His love for me, and I use good judgment in all my financial affairs. And I am prospered in my trading each and every day. So the thing you should really think about first is to begin to understand your attitudes and reactions to your trading, so as to garner the best good from your experiences as traders, and to pass beyond any less than positive experiences to higher phases of self-expression to satisfy your trading results as soon as possible. In other words, when the pressure of desiring more good, more profit is within you, within your mental environment, when dissatisfaction with your present trading results is upon you, or when the pressure of any financial strain disturbs you, it's then that you are feeling the actual pressure of your talents and abilities. And these talents and abilities want to express themselves and pass through you to bring you richer degrees of success and prosperity as a trader. It's there for the taking, guys. It's up to you to choose to grab a hold. So, until then, we'll see you next week. Paula T. Webb, Institute of Trading Psychology, co-author of numerous books that are translated into 15 languages, including The Disciplined Trader, Trading in the Zone, The Complete Trader. And I look forward to talking to you again next week. Have a great trading week.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.